Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. You can watch today's program by going to Ustream channel. It's ustream.tv, and then just search for Gary Null. And a lot of you, especially from our sister station in Washington, D.C., WPFW, where I've been on the air for almost 31 years, Monday to Friday, 3 to 4 p.m. Only this week did I find out that for the past 2.5 months, the signal, which is normally a very powerful 50,000-watt signal, which means that people almost 80 miles away from the center of the station that can hear the program, we've been under 2,000 watts, under 2,000 watts, according to conversation I had, because I wondered why we were not getting the response. And it's because people simply haven't been able to turn on the radio and listen to us. That's unfortunate. Hopefully in the near future, we'll get our station signal back so that everyone can rehear it. The problem is that when you go off the air, for all intents and purposes, you've lost 95% of your audience because you've lost 95% of your strength of your signal, which means if people don't know how to use the internet, they will not be able to listen to you. That's unfortunate because there was no effort made to educate my audience at all. I wasn't even told. So that was a ball drop there. Hopefully that this will be a lesson learned. Now here's something good from this. The one silver lining, thousands of people from the PFW audience immediately picked up the telephone and began listening over the telephone. Hence, they're still able to hear the show every day. We've gotten feedback to that effect, and we saw it in the numbers. We had like 9,000 people suddenly out of nowhere in one day start to listen to the program. So for those of you anywhere in the United States or Canada, we have a lot of listeners in Canada, you can pick up the telephone, any phone, including your computer phone, and dial this number, 619-550-0869, 619-550-0869, and you can listen to the program, you can go to the archives, or of course, you can listen over the internet and on from TuneIn website and iTunes, Stitcher, all kinds of places to listen. So that was a lifesaver for a lot of people. Unfortunately, none of the programs on PFW had that. So I'm guesstimating right now that we've lost upwards of 90% of our entire PFW audience. And hopefully, we'll get our signal back and we can start to rebuild. Today, the latest on health and healing. Some really exciting new information that can allow us to overcome illnesses and live a longer and healthier life. From our environmental segment, we're going to examine something that could happen in Syria that no one has discussed, except Professor Harvey Wasserman. And that is 5 ways a wider Syrian war could go nuclear. From Truthdig. So we'll explore this with Harvey, brand new information, and I appreciate Harvey's always at the cutting edge. I appreciate him doing this. Also, it seems as if President Obama has been trying to make America so exceptional, he's forgotten our history. So Pat Lamarchi from Common Dreams is going to share a letter. He wants President Obama to buy a history book and read about real history. We also are going to talk about some really problematic facts, actual facts, that our economy is tanking. And since President Obama has been making pronouncements that we're recovering. Well, certainly some parts of our economy and those controlling it are recovering and doing very well. But for if you're the average person, I'll tell you the latest statistics on how you're doing. But then I'm going to do something today. I'm going to play you about a 9-minute clip about who's behind all this. Who's really profiting? Well, you guessed it. It's the banks. You'll find this insightful. As you see, we have a lot to share, and I will be going to our talkback segment today to have a chance to call in and share your thoughts as well and questions. First up from Health and Nutrition, our soup of the day that's able to help protect us against radiation exposure. In fact, anyone getting an X-ray should be, for the 3 weeks after this, having at least one miso. Miso is M-I-S-O, miso soup a day. Now, what miso is, it's a fermented, generally a grain. There's barley and rice that are the most popular forms of miso. But there's also soy, which is not a grain, it's a legume. According to the latest research from Hiroshima University, they published a new study in the Journal of Toxicological Pathology about miso soup and how it can protect you against radiation. And that's important. So we know that flax seeds are good, and they can protect us against radiation. And we also know that a fermented broth called dashi, D-A-S-H-I, and that is good. And also, most commonly, there's a mixture of dried sardines called niboshi, N-I-B-O-S-H-I, and kombu, which is dried kelp, K-O-M-B-U. There's also a fermented mixture of soybeans with rice and oats and dried shiitake mushrooms. And they mix all that together, and that creates magnificent microorganisms, minerals, and sea vegetables and from the kombu. And so that would be something that if you wanted to help your system after an X-ray, you should use that. In fact, they found that there's a substantial protection to the body. I'll be working shortly with some people with advanced Alzheimer's. I've already begun with one person, and in less than 2 weeks, this person has been working at Columbia University with a physician specializing in Alzheimer's who was on medications with no benefit and getting worse. She was up to a stage 5, which is, it's progressive. It's not advanced, but it's progressive Alzheimer's. And in 2 weeks of this protocol, she's at stage 0 and has made remarkable improvements. Now she'll be going through a whole month, and we are medically vetting this, meaning there'll be board-certified physicians and nurse practitioners and people documenting every stage of this, because what I want to do is if it works, if I'm able to help people over a 30-day period with medically untreatable conditions, meaning that medicine has nothing in its arsenal that is able to fundamentally reverse the pathogenetic conditions, they can simply try with their medications to limit the advance of the condition. But they can't reverse it and haven't. So I'm taking on some real serious challenges. And I'm filming the whole thing. And I'm going to stream what I film. So you'll be able to see in real time this happening. And I'll share this all over the world. But I'm also documenting it medically, because if this works, then there's no longer any reason that the average American doesn't demand that their doctors broaden their base of understanding of the cause of illness and how to approach it. So that's my hope. I did this 4 years ago with 10 individuals over 1 month, and was able to improve or reverse every condition. But I did not medically document it. I didn't film it. This time I am. So let's see the kind of results we get. Well, with Alzheimer's, we're looking at an epidemic of Alzheimer's in the United States. I mean, an absolute flat-out epidemic. In fact, we don't have enough money, and we couldn't borrow enough money to pay for the treatment of Alzheimer's starting in about 5 to 10 years from now, because I predict that we'll have 20 million Americans at that point suffering from either dementia or Alzheimer's. And so we're doing zero, nothing, not a single thing in the world in the United States to prevent it. And people just seem indifferent until it happens to them or a member of their family. So I'm looking at everything in the world that has been used that has some verifiable proof that it works. Well, here's one more extract from the Philippines, from Manila, that's been shown to have some really good and important benefit. It's a simpler, poor person's vegetable. In fact, in the Philippines, it's called poor man's vegetable. It grows everywhere in the Philippines, and in fact, it grows across all of Southeast Asia. It's very common. It's very inexpensive. And it's called kangkong. Kang, K-A-N-G, kong, K-O-N-G. And it's a vegetable. But then some pharmaceutical researchers from San Pedro College at one of the Philippines' most important medical research facilities found that it had a lot of medicinal properties. So the team was awarded a prize for the importance of its research on this. It's known as swamp cabbage also, or water spinach. It grows very fast. It's easy to cultivate. Why am I giving you this information? Because I'm thinking hydroponics in the United States. I'm thinking that we're going to see, in fact, I'll predict this right now. I predict that in the next 2 years, you'll have more Americans turning their garages or someplace in their backyard into a hydroponic to grow produce for themselves or to sell at markets. I believe we're going to have hundreds of thousands of Americans do it, simply out of necessity. Their money is not enough to cover their basic expenses. It's a way to get healthier and to save money, because in a hydroponic environment, you can create food 12 months a year. In fact, I'm in the process of doing that. I didn't have a chance to finish it, but I am going to finish it in the next 4 weeks, and I filmed every single segment of how you can build your own hydroponics in your own backyard, on your roof, in your garage. And if you have more room, all the better. I believe one of the finest business propositions available would be to have your own commercial hydroponic house, because you're not restricted by weather. You control the temperature. By soil, you don't have to worry about, do you have clay soil, loamy soil, too sandy soil, denatured soil? You don't have to worry about that. And with the new science, the minerals are so complete, including using sea mineral water, that you're getting even healthier produce than you would growing in the ground. But I've also created, I'm not going to go into it in great detail, because I'm hopeful that when I finish this, it could be featured around the world as the new, most feasible design. That's all I'll say. But it's a unique concept in construction. It'll yield 500% more produce than the normal hydroponic house, and a lot more than in the ground. So anyhow, when I mention something like a common plant that can hold the key to Alzheimer's treatment, that they've done good work on in the Philippines, kangkong, that's also called swamp cabbage and water spinach, and is fast-growing, easily cultivated, it's a semi-aquatic plant, it thrives in all conditions, it can be grown 12 months a year, it's cheap, it's a leaf vegetable, and in much of Southeast Asia, you'll see it in a lot of soups there, but also they feed it to their cattle and pigs. Quote from a study, although there are studies identifying kangkong with anti-ulcer and anti-diabetic properties, This is the first study to associate with anti-Alzheimer's properties. This was the lead researcher. Quote, then he goes on to talk about that Alzheimer's has two causes, neurodegenerative due to deterioration of nerve cells and the degradation of acetylcholine, an organic molecule that acts as a vital neurotransmitter in memory and body and organ function. We screen CanCon for alkaloids and then identify the active component of the plant with pharmaceutical potential for preventing acetylcholine degrading that would lead to Alzheimer's. And current medicines used to treat Alzheimer's compensate for the degradation of acetylcholine. So anyhow, this quote, we found comparable effects and results. Well, that's good. So there's going to be at least 300 medicinal herbs that people could grow themselves. And if grown under the right conditions and standardized, you could sell these to herbal manufacturing companies that make tinctures from these. And culinary herbs you can sell to restaurants and farmers markets. Here's another epidemic we have, and it's going to get worse, cancer. From the Institute of Medicine, that's our government's official institute to tell us the latest on disease. Quote, barriers to excellent U.S. cancer care remain daunting as the number of cancer cases rises up to 2.3 million. The report from the Institute of Medicine said the U.S. cancer care delivery system is in crisis due to a growing demand for cancer care, increasing complexity of treatment, and shrinking workforce and rising cost. All right. Well, let me ask. When was the last time that you saw on television our Surgeon General or the head of the U.S. Public Health Service and the National Cancer Institute come together and say, here are the 20 things we know cause cancer individually, but collectively, the more of these 20 that you have included or exposed to, the greater risk you have of creating cancer. How about never? And for a simple reason. Because the companies that are creating the products that can cause cancer or are suspected of causing cancer also are very smart and they give a lot of political money. And so you're never going to hear the truth. But it doesn't mean that you don't know the truth. And my suggestion is always eat every day to prevent cancer and to prevent Alzheimer's. And they both have something in common. Alzheimer's and cancers both have inflammation as their underlying primary cause. And the inflammation will degrade the signaling process, the RNA and DNA in your cell. And it depends upon which cell. If it's in the brain, it's Alzheimer. If it's in the lung, the breast, the prostate, the stomach, it's cancer. So if you don't inflame the body to begin with, and then you turn off the flame and repair the damage, then you're ahead of it. And here's something that will turn off inflammation in the body, omega-3 fatty acids. And here's the latest on this from the University of Oslo in Norway. Quote, there is a clear connection between the intake of the omega-3 fatty acids and the decline in ADHD symptoms in this laboratory study. Well, that's good. After all, think of whether you are a rat in a laboratory or you're a young kid in school. When you have anything that creates inflammation in the brain, like a vaccine or aluminum from a vaccine or a cola that you're drinking or high fructose corn syrup or that barbecued rib that you just ate, then as long as that brain stays inflamed, you can manifest unusual or not good emotions. So the omega-3 goes in there and puts out the inflammation. And finally, this is a good study from the University of Northumbria in the United Kingdom and the University of Reading in the UK, University of Dusseldorf, all three. This was two randomized controlled double-blind crossover human intervention trials. That means it's big. It was published in the peer-reviewed journal of clinical Nutrition, and it says blueberry flavonoids boost endothelial function and heart health. Quote, flavonoids from blueberries may improve vascular function in healthy men. Our data suggests that the consumption of blueberry may have public health relevance in maintaining circulatory function. Furthermore, such an intake of polyphenols need not be restricted to blueberry alone, but may be achieved through the intake of other berries and anthocyanin-enriched foods and beverages. So, that's good news. Wow. All those universities, all that research. Would you whiz? And double-blind, placebo-controlled, published in a peer-reviewed journal, that makes it all official. Well, let me see. If I looked in a red fruit powder, I'm going to find some blueberries. How about that? Think of all of you who've been taking your blueberries in good amounts for a long time, and that's great. One last thing. New research from published in the Journal of Agriculture and Food Chemistry showed that strawberries also can fight against colon cancer and diabetes and more. Quote, researchers agree strawberries might be common in widespread availability, but are far from ordinary in their value in what they do. They can defend against cancer, cardiovascular disease, inflammation, and diabetes. Strawberries are an excellent choice. I would agree with that. Of course, we're talking about organic. I'm Gary Nall. Now the latest on environmental issues. This is from Harvey Wasserman from TruthDig. The article is entitled, Five Ways a Wider Syrian War Could Go Nuclear. Now, of course, this is also dealing with human health and public health, but it's an environmental issue as well. I would also mention that all of these articles, dozens every day, throughout the day, and even overnight, are published on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com's website. They're there free and with videos and lots of good information for you to empower you. And these are not like the ones you're going to find on Huffington Post or some of the other blogs. And we had, I think, 35 million downloads, some enormous number last year alone. Here's what Harvey Wasserman says, quote, in the wake of an apparent break in the wider war, the reality of nuclear dimension in Syria remains largely unspoken. There are at least five key reasons why American military intervention in Syrian civil war could go nuclear. One, there's a nuclear reactor near Damascus. It's relatively small, by most accounts, containing about a kilogram or 2.2 pounds of weapons-grade uranium. That's not much in the scheme of things when it comes to building an atom bomb. But as Foreign Minister put it, quote, of Russia, if a warhead by design or by chance were to hit the miniature neutron source reactor near Damascus, the consequences could be catastrophic, end quote. A prime concern would be contamination of highly enriched uranium throughout the immediate environment. At the very least, it would be a serious local radiation hazard. That's according to the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Mark Hibbs. And the foreign minister said, quote, it would no longer be possible to account for nuclear material, its safety or control. If the U.S. does ultimately attack Syria, it would want to avoid hitting that reactor. Now, two, despite Secretary of State John Kerry's promise of unbelievably limited attack, once U.S. military commits to action in Syria, it's unlikely to hold back any of its tactical arsenal. That would also certainly include depleted uranium. Now, when shells made of this super hard material penetrate armored vehicles, hardened bunkers, and other structures, the depleted uranium disperses into fine radioactive particulates that are easily inhaled wherever deployed, as in Yugoslavia, Iraq, Afghanistan. Depleted uranium inflicts horrifying health consequences, including cancer among people of all ages and birth defects among children born well after its use. Uranium-238 has a half-life of 4.5 billion years, imposing virtually permanent contamination. Should depleted uranium weaponry be used yet again, this time in Syria, the contamination would be widespread and irreversible. Many thousands of innocent people, including the countless unborn, would suffer greatly. As with all radioactive fallout, the lethal effects will stretch through the generations. Number 3. When the world's superpowers collide, nuclear war is always a possibility. At this point, the U.S. and Russia appear to be coming together. But in this too often irrational global tinderbox, the stakes could not be higher. In such situations, we hope for the best, but we can't lose sight of the potential worst. In the speech by President Obama, he mentioned use of chemical weapons during World War I. He might also recall that a bizarre assassination in Sarajevo by a tiny handful of young Serb nationals somehow touched off a 4-year war that killed 10 million people outright, plus another 10 million, including 500,000 Americans, in the influenza epidemic that followed. To this day, the circumstances that sparked that war are virtually impossible to comprehend. They seem indeed to have somehow acquired a devastating momentum all their own. Yet the instability of the Balkans back then pales before the flashpoint that is today's Middle East. A protest in Syria turned into a civil war, and then a proxy war. It could easily expand into a regional war, and in the worst case, global conflict. Looming in the background of the tense, torturous negotiations yet to come is a reality that despite everyone's best wishes, diplomatic failure is a distinct possibility. Number 4. In the bottomless turbulence that defines today's Middle East, the Americans and Russians so far seem to retain some shreds of rationality. But given the peaceful Adams half-century of weapons-grade proliferation, we cannot know which nations or marginal groups might now have atomic devices and what random impulses might prompt their use. And finally, while the world's attention is focused on Syria, the global-scale disaster at Fukushima spirals out of control. The more serious the crisis in Syria, the more it will divert attention from an existing nuclear disaster. Millions of tons of heavily contaminated water continuously flow through the site in central Japan and into the Pacific Ocean. Millions more accumulate in flimsy tanks already breaking apart, all within the specter of the next earthquake. The three melted cores at Fukushima Daiichi have yet to be found. The common radioactive waste pool near Unit 4 is surrounded by buildings whose foundations are being undermined by the continuous flow of radioactive water. Most terrifying, the entire core of Unit 4 remains perched in a dangerous 100 feet in the air, atop a structure that's sinking. Should it crash to the ground, that core could potentially spew into the ocean and atmosphere more than 20,000 times the radiation released at Hiroshima. A sane species would be pouring all of its resources and somehow healing an open apocalyptic wound that still festers at Fukushima. Now, just as an add-on to that, I was just speaking with our executive producer, Richard Gale, and within the next week, we will be inviting the leading scientists in Japan who are dissident activist scientists on this program to tell us about some new information that is not in any news media in the world yet. The activists have been taking radioactive readings all around the country. And what I had predicted over 2 years ago with Harvey Wasserman on this program was that there is an aquifer underneath the nuclear power plant, and that goes into the north area, and that's where they grow their rice. Well, radiation cannot be stopped. It's not possible to stop it from going through soil, sand, a clay, and into the water. And once in the water, you can't get it out. And that means anything that uses that water, if you use it for food, if you use it for irrigation, if you use it for anything, it's going to contaminate all that. Why aren't we hearing about water samples from every lake and every river, but most importantly, every aquifer? It's the aquifers that concerns me, because that's where the people's water comes from, not the lakes, not from the rivers. And so we'll have an exclusive report on that. Here in the United States, the eastern part of the United States' water, quote, is threatened by a legacy of acid rain. From the staff writers of Terra Daily, quote, human activities are changing the water chemistry of many streams and rivers in the eastern United States with consequences for water supplies and aquatic life, so reports a new study in the Journal of Environmental Science and Technology. In the first survey of its kind, researchers looked at long-term alkalinity trends in 97 streams and rivers from Florida to New Hampshire, sites ranging from small headwater streams to some of the nation's largest rivers. And over the past 60 years, two-thirds have become significantly more alkaline. Now, alkalinity is a measure of water's ability to neutralize acid. In excess, it can cause ammonia toxicity, and that causes algae blooms, and it can kill fish. How do we get that? Because we have so many things that are acid. Fertilizers, acidic mining in Appalachia, acid rain, agriculture, and breakdown of limestone, of carbonate rocks, even concrete and cement. The result? Alkaline particles are washed off the landscape and into the streams and rivers. And then that creates this excessive alkalinity, and that is killing our water. One more reason to pay attention to the industries that pollute our water with impunity. The ALEC working with our state legislators, I said last night, and by the way, I want to thank all of you who came to our world premiere of the screening of the new film, The Silent Epidemic, last night. It was a great group of people. It was a fundraiser for the station. Unfortunately, the station didn't get around to wanting to help with it. Not unusual and rather typical, but we still were there and raised some money for the station, but also empowered people with this film. And I mentioned at that time that virtually all of our institutions have betrayed us. And I believe that our state legislatures have really betrayed us. And I said, and I'll say it again, we should have every one of our state legislators identify which bills they have supported after meeting secretly with ALEC members. And we should ask those people for recall and get them out, because they've compromised their principles working with special private interest groups and not for the people of the state. Back in a moment, when we're then going to have you share some insights on some other issues that are important, please stay with us. Have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Just one program announcement. I'm going to be interviewing qualified nutritionists, people who have a background in nutrition and dietetics, giving them a very nicely paying job so they can help people in this audience for free, counseling them on how to use diet and lifestyle modification to get healthier. We have so many people wanting help. And even though I have 5 people that I've hired, I'm going to need another one. So if you are a person who is good working with people, you're well qualified, you have a good background, and you'd like to help people get healthier, then just give a call at 646-926-5422. 646-926-5422. We'll be interviewing people over the weekend, I believe. There are some facts that most people are not aware of. unless you are an average person. Then these facts are just a matter of everyday reality. And I want to posit this compared to the information that all the talking heads on Wall Street, if Wall Street's got new record highs, and we're not looking at the reality that we're living in a bubble economy. Real estate is a bubble. Commercial real estate is a bubble. Hedge funds are a bubble. Equity partnerships are a bubble. And yet, we're not dealing with this. And Wall Street's the biggest bubble of all. But if you're the average person, you're not playing in Wall Street. Here are some statistics. Since Obama has been president, 7 out of every 8 jobs that have been created in the United States economy have been part-time jobs. But mind you, they don't make that distinction when they're giving the numbers out. They all would use how many jobs, but how many of those are low-paying jobs, service industry jobs? That's the reality of it. And it's hard to believe, but an astonishing 53% of all American workers now make less than $30,000 a year. That's over half of all American workers. 40% of all workers in the United States actually make less than what a full-time minimum wage worker made back in 1968. And when the Obama era began, the average duration of unemployment was 19.8 weeks. Today it's 36.6 weeks. And during the first 4 years of this president's term, the number of Americans not in the labor force soared to an astonishing 8,332,000. By the way, that far exceeds any previous four-year total. Also, the poverty rate in the United States has gone up 16%, and the number of people on food stamps has increased 11,000 per day, every single day. Those people need help. 48 million Americans are on food stamps, and now Congress wants to cut some of those. Try living on as little as the people who want the food stamps live on, Congress. Then decide, is this a smart move? At this point, more than 1.3 million public school students in the United States are homeless. They'll go to school, but they have no home to go to afterwards. And that, by the way, is the first time that has ever happened in our history of the entire country. So those are some things that the average person is faced with today. Utility bills are going up faster than the rate of inflation 5 years in a row. So if you're the average person, you're getting body slammed every time you turn. And all you have is a government of indifference and one that doesn't want you protesting, taking to the streets, or stopping doing whatever you're doing to support the 1%. Here's a little reflection on the people behind all this. This is just one piece of the puzzle, but it's an important piece.
Thomas Jefferson said, "I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of their currency, the banks will deprive the people of all property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered." Jefferson's warning is already here. 40 million Americans are living on food stamps. Millions more are now homeless, living in tents, all because of one institution, the Federal Reserve System. The Federal Reserve is a group of private bankers who have stolen the money creation process from the American people. Most people still believe the Fed is an agency of the government working in our best interests. It is not. There is no greater form of evil in the world today, so let's explore the banking scam. None of us have ever been taught anything about money. The reason is to prevent us from learning the truth that money is a trick and money is a trap. When solving any crime, there's a universal truth: follow the money. But with the banking scam, follow it backwards. Where does money come from? The world's money supply is always growing. Where does all the new money keep coming from? Money comes from privately controlled global banks like the Federal Reserve System. They create money every day, which increases the world's money supply. Because all banks are either owned or controlled by private bankers, the real question is, how do private bankers create new money? And the answer is, they create it out of thin air. Bankers create money out of nothing. They make it up. It is a fiction. Wow. Godlike power to create something of value out of nothing. A stroke of a keyboard and money is created. In fact, only 3% of the world's money is even in the form of bills and coins, which means 97% of all money in the world is just numbers typed on a computer screen. This is part one of the banking scam. Money is created out of nothing. The second part of the scam is this phony money is issued as debt. What is debt exactly? Well, when you consider we work our whole lives to pay it off, you could say debt is slavery. But whose debt is this phony money? It's our debt, all of it. It's our debt when we use credit cards, we get student loans, borrow money for mortgages, all bank borrowing. And it's our debt again when the government borrows, which is each and every day. In today's world, money is debt and debt is money, and don't forget the interest charges. Money equals debt and debt equals slavery, therefore money equals slavery. Our monetary system is a carefully concealed system of slavery. Why? Because our government can create the same money for free with no interest charges, just like they used to as the Founding Fathers designed it inside the United States Constitution for our protection against private bankers. The third part of the banking scam is very evil. When bankers create money from nothing and issue it as debt, they only create the principal portion of the debt. They do not create the money for the future interest payments. There is not enough money in existence for all of us to make our interest payments. In fact, our money creation system is even mathematically impossible. Money issued by the banks, principal debt, does not equal the money demanded back to the banks, principal plus interest. We are forced to play a game of musical chairs to see who can make their debt repayments. This guarantees a world of bankruptcy, competition, and scarcity of money. For example, we go to the bank to borrow money for a house, let's say $100,000. The moment we sign the loan document, the bank creates the money out of thin air. A $100,000 debit gets registered for us and a $100,000 secured credit for them. Then one of two things happens. Either we give the bank 30 years of labor making house payments totaling $300,000 for the original $100,000 we borrowed, or the bank takes our house. The bankers get either our labor for life or our house, and often they get both, all from money created out of thin air and issued as debt, for money made out of nothing. This is why all the bankers end up with all the assets. The fourth part of the banking scam is inflation. People think inflation is prices and costs increase. A better answer might be the value of our money always goes down. Inflation is created every time the central banks print money, which is every day. Where does all this new money get its value? The answer is, it steals its value from the existing money supply, where our savings are. Our savings are disappearing because of the new money they're printing. If money creation was in balance with goods and services, there would be no inflation. Prices would stay the same. But the reality is banks always print money, driving prices ever higher, which steals the value of our savings, making them disappear. Since the private bankers created the private Federal Reserve in 1913, the United States dollar has lost 97 cents in purchasing power. An item in 1913 that costs $100 in 2011 costs $2,230, a price increase of 2,130%. This is the banking scam. Four parts. Private bankers create money out of nothing and charge interest on it. There is no money created for the future interest payments, and inflation steals our savings every day. In order for the banking scam to be pulled over our eyes, the bankers need help from the likes of paid-for politicians and appointed civil servants, military-industrial complex, mainstream media, multinational corporations, and the bankers' good buddies. For example, what do our banker-controlled television networks say about criminal bankers? Oh, bankers are our saviors. Chairman is man of the year. He saved the world. Bankers really do deserve their bonuses. They're so smart. And what do our banker-owned G20 politicians say we need to do? That we must save our banking system, and now we need austerity measures, like increasing existing taxes and bringing in new taxes, cutting our social programs, including education and health care, stealing from our pension plans while increasing the retirement age, keeping us working for more years at lower wages while placing our children and grandchildren in debt and servitude for their future lives. We are being lied to that we must go deeper in debt for bailouts, stimulus packages, quantitative easing, saving the too-big-to-fail banks, credit easing, currency interventions, all names that mean the same thing, more debt to us. Is it not strange that the solution to too much debt is always more debt to us? And where is all this money going? It's going to the banks and to the bankers. They are stealing our money right now. 0.1% of the world's population owns 2/3 of the world's wealth. This means that 99.99% of the world's population own less than 1/3 of the wealth, a decreasing amount, because these guys are stealing it. We desperately need to wake up to the banking scam. It is time for change. To retake control of our money system, we must stop supporting the banking scam. Lincoln said the government should create all the currency and credit needed to satisfy the spending power of government and the buying power of consumers. Money will cease to be master and will then become servant of humanity. And Jefferson said the issuing power of money should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. It's a pyramid scheme. And we, the people, are the bottom layers of the banking pyramid. Without our support, the banking scam collapses. We have to do it ourselves. Wake up, get active, wake others, remove our money from the bank. Buy gold and silver coins, get out of debt, rip up your credit cards. These actions will bring down the banking scam. Only vote for politicians who support debt-free money, or run for office yourself, and turn off mainstream media to search for the truth while you still can. And support every effort to end the Federal Reserve System and all the privately owned central banks. Let's bring these criminals to justice to get our money and our countries back before it's too late.
I would absolutely agree with that. And have you ever noticed the biggest buildings, the most prime real estate is always the large banks? Walk up the Upper West Side. I was walking up the street the other day with an 85-year-old gentleman who's been a fixture of the Upper West Side for a long time. His name is Saul Zabar. He is the son of the founder of Zabar's, and goes to work every single day, walks down Broadway, very, very humble man. And the other day we were walking, and he said, "You know, Gary," he said, "I can remember when every one of these blocks on both sides of the street had about 6 to 9 different small businesses. And I can remember where every single one of them, I'd know their names and wave and say hello. And it felt so wonderful to have that sense of community." And he said, "Now look," and as we walked, "there's a Bank of America on one corner, and there's a Gap on the other corner, and there's a Banana Republic on one, and then there's a drugstore. Where are the small stores? Well, who can pay, you know, $50,000 a month rent? That's what it cost for, you know, 2,500 square foot store, small store. And then you have to pay the landlord's real estate taxes on top of that." So he is correct. Remember all the bankers who lost hundreds of billions of dollars? Now they're making tens of billions of dollars in profit. How do they do that? Well, they gamble and they use derivatives. They're not in the business today of giving meaningful loans to small businesses and helping people. They're there just to exploit any part of the system they can, and they bought the political power to do it. And they're virtually unchallenged. So, he is right. We should abolish the Federal Reserve. We should give the Treasury the right to print money at no interest. And if we had a courageous and progressive Congress and President, Secretary of the Treasury, we would forgive all debt that is owed to the federal government. Because who is it owed to? more often than not, it's not the American people. It's the banking system. It's a circular pattern. And that way we could start fresh. Time for call talk back. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Your opportunity to call in and share your comments, points of view. And if you attended the screening last night, I'd like to hear your feedback. 888-874-4888. And I really appreciate our panelists who were there. They gave some really great insights for almost an hour and a half after the screening itself. And I see we have Luann on the line. Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. Wow, that was a humbling piece there that you just put on. Unbelievable.
It's not complicated. It's not difficult to understand our problems.
But it's nice to hear it straight like that. There's no fluff. It's straight up. That's the information that we need. There's no spin. There's no slant. There's no ulterior motives. It's just plain old facts. It's just straightforward information, and people need to hear it.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that we are full up for our first week for your premium, where people are going to be coming to a healing retreat. And I kind of wanted to throw this out. We love to have people that are willing and able to help out. We call it work study, where you're still able to participate in the program, in some of the programs, but you're kind of helping out behind the scenes to create an environment that's clean and organized and helps us in the learning environment overall. And we're offering for people to come down for half the price. So you're still going to be surrounded by the beauty, the nature. There'll be lectures. So if anyone is interested in coming to the retreat and they'd like to be a part of the work-study program, I want to invite you to give me a call. My home office is 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. I've been getting so many calls, Gary. People are so appreciative of what you're offering to them, and they understand the value of what you're offering them as well. So this is going to be a great opportunity for people.
Sorry, I just had a little mic glitch there. That's terrific. I'm very excited because I'm looking forward to this incredible challenge to along with John Q, yourself, Rupert Ravens, to help individuals with the medical team that we have for the month, of helping people, the 10 people we're selecting, with medically irreversible conditions to see what we can do within a 30-day period. That is exciting. And the first week of the health support group is packed. We have no more room. And we will allow a few more people for the second week of October. It's going to be wonderful. These are always wonderful. People come away with their life changed. And I'm of that belief that we should actually be spending time helping people, especially people who become so tied in, so limited in their perspective of their own life. They think the only thing they should be living for each day is their regular routines, and that somehow without them doing these routines and these basic responsibilities, the whole world will collapse. And they don't realize, pull back, get a handle on stuff. Life is more than just honoring routines and rituals. You have to honor your authentic self. And often people don't even know who the authentic self is until they've had some moments alone in nature and some guidance. So that's why this is important. Give your number once more, please.
Surely. It's 631-504-6198. And Gary, this is shaping up to be one of the best you've ever had.
I think it will be the best we've ever had. Thank you, Luann Panessi.
Okay.
Let's say hello to Anthony from New Jersey. Hi, Anthony.
How you doing, Gary?
Good.
I just wanted to make a quick documentary suggestion and then ask you a quick nutrition question. About the banking system real quick, just one of the best documentaries I've ever seen was by Bill Still, and it's called The Money Masters. It's like a three-hour long documentary, and it covers from the beginning of the banking system all the way till present day. It's a great documentary.
I agree. I've watched it also. I agree.
Okay. And I have one quick nutrition question for you. What do you feel about the 80-10-10 diet by Dr. Douglas Graham?
No, I don't. I don't believe that it's the best approach. Don't believe it. No, I've looked at it, analyzed it. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
George from New Jersey. Hi, George.
thanks for all your good work. I had a question about the vaccine issues, and I'm just wondering, is there any circumstances under which a vaccine might be appropriate?
I have yet to see that.
Okay.
I have yet to see this actual independent quality literature that proves that a given vaccine will actually stimulate healing antibodies specific to that disease in a given person or group of people, and then followed up to make sure that there's no adverse effects, including delayed effects. Because right now, if you're vaccinated with one or more vaccines, and let's say 3 months from now you have an adverse effect, they're going to say it had nothing to do with the vaccine. You have to have almost an immediate effect, a reaction, for them to qualify that. And that's and we showed last night, and the scientists...
Yeah, I was there last night.
Well, that some of these adverse effects take a year or longer to manifest.
Right.
So, no, there is no vaccine I've seen in the world that I would consider legitimate at this moment.
And what about world travel? I mean, if I go to China or whatever, I know you suggested other alternative approaches, but...
I would suggest homeopathic vaccines.
Yeah, okay.
That's the only approach I would use.
Thank you very much.
All the best to you. We're out of time. I thank you all for listening. I look forward to sharing more on our next program. And by the way, that next program is Sunday evening. And for 35 years, every Sunday evening, I do a radio program. And it's called Talk Back. No guest, no investigative report, just lots of healthy information and your chance to call in and ask your questions or make your statements throughout the whole program. Now let's go over and say hello to you, Therese Lead, who is standing by. Hi, you two.
Hello, Gary. Our guest, Dr. Jeffrey Perry, concludes his presentation today on the father of Harlem radicalism, Hubert Henry Harrison.
Great. We look forward to it. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen, but I did a live show yesterday on WBAI, and I read a essay on a challenge to what has happened to the historical philosophers within the African-American movement, the Frederick Douglasses. And Cornel West was the person making the statements, and he made some extremely insightful statements. If you have a chance, read Chris Hedges' latest article on Cornel West.
I'll check it.
It's really interesting. Thank you all very much for listening. Utrecht Lead coming up right now.